Well, the music to end the program has come up. I want to thank you, Keala Kelly, so much for being with us.
And, what a pleasure, Paul. Mahalo nui for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
All right. And as I mentioned, there's links to everything I said. There's links to what we mentioned, her websites, other websites. There's a local Hawaiian culture organization that is on there. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned to more good programming here on KBOO Community Radio. My name is Paul Rowan. This is Wednesday Talk Radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Monday, April 27th through Friday, May 2nd from noon to 4, and Saturday and Sunday, May 2nd and 3rd from noon to 5 p.m. to hear our live broadcast from the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, brought to you by our friends and colleagues at WWOZ in New Orleans. We'll have access to 5 stages of fantastic traditional and contemporary New Orleans jazz and blues, brass bands, and interviews and commentary by the best that WWOZ has to offer. That's the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, starting Monday, April 27th. The weekdays, we'll broadcast it from noon to 4 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, May 2nd and 3rd, we'll broadcast the festival from noon to 5 p.m., here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Portland School Board elections are May 19th. What are the candidates saying?
My name is Jose Gonzalez. I'm executive director and founder of Milagro. I'm Mexican-American and a graduate of Benson High School. I'm running for school board in Zone 2 because I think we have a great opportunity to make a difference, and I want to be part of it.
Tune into KBOO April 27th through the 30th at 5:45 for special school board election coverage.
Good morning. It is 9:02 and you are listening to KBOO FM in Portland. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9:30, we'll hear an interview with author Robert Marston Fanny, who writes a blog about climate change called Robert Scribbler's Blog. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, journalist Robert Perry discusses his article, The U.S. Hand in Libya's Tragedy. We also hear an update on the Korean ferry disaster that killed over 300 people 1 year ago, and we hear from an Israeli who has spent his life resisting Israeli apartheid. And at 11 on the Recovery Zone, host Stephanie Potter speaks with Taylor Stokes and Jonathan Miniman, founders and co-editors of Games to Gather, and with co-director Jay Silvano about this Portland-based organization founded on the idea that play can make the world a better place for every person, gamer and non-gamer alike. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Next up on Political Perspectives, Sarika Mehta hosts a discussion about how the deaf community in India is fighting for their rights to language and equality. Stay tuned.
India's deaf community is fighting for their right to language and independence. Back in 2007, the Indian government approved the establishment of the Indian Sign Language Research and Training Center, or ISLRTC. This would serve as an academic institution for deaf people, promoting Indian Sign Language, deaf culture, and bilingualism. The goal is to have a center somewhat like Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C., the world's only deaf university. But achieving this center, autonomously run by deaf Indians, that road has not been easy. Currently, the National Institute for the Hearing Handicapped, or NIHH, is set to take control of the ISLRTC, despite the strong objection from the deaf community. Deaf Indians face discrimination in the workplace and have no access to communication due to a lack of interpreter services. There are Indian laws and United Nations conventions which recognize the rights and participation of people with disabilities, and India's government is breaking both laws. As the Indian National Association of the Deaf learned about this potential merger between the ISLRTC and the NIHH, the organizing began. They spread the word to deaf communities all over India. If this merger goes through on April 27th, there could be 10,000 people from all over India coming to protest in Delhi. I'm Sarika Mehta, and this is the story of a new Indian independence. Madan Vasishtha serves as the chief officer of the ISLRTC. He is a retired faculty member of Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C., and a leader in the deaf South Asian American community. He's been involved with the center since its beginnings, including the planning commission with the Indian National Association of the Deaf. With Nirja Vasishtha interpreting, we met on Skype, where he explained some of the historical context of the movement. The Indian government's National Institute for the Hearing Handicapped, or NIHH, is set to take control of the center against the needs of the Indian deaf community.
Since it moved under NIHS, you happen same.
So if the center is put under NIHS, the same thing will happen. Perhaps they'll use money for cochlear implants, maybe for hearing aids. It could be for any kind of reason. So we really need deaf people to be involved. They need to have important positions, directors, assistant directors. Because we need deaf people to start those sign language classes, to start the interpreting program, research on deaf education, so many programs. What about the Ramayana, the Mahabharata? There's so many things that could be in Indian Sign Language for deaf children. And that should be all controlled by deaf people. You have to remember that ISL is the mother tongue of deaf people in India. So after a year, instead of being established as an autonomous organization, they very quietly are trying to put it into the NIHH, which is the National Institute of Hearing Handicap, which is why deaf people are really fighting to establish the center as an autonomous organization, period.
Back in March, while I was in Mumbai, India, I spoke with Sunil Sahastrabuddhe, a leader on the ground and a private contractor with the NIHH. Sunil is deaf, born to a deaf family, and his first language is Indian Sign Language, and he's fluent in several other languages. There was no available interpreter when we met, so through switching between American Sign Language, Indian Sign Language, and spoken English, he agreed to chat with me and use his voice on the microphone. For this story, Venatia Deshpande provided voiceover. Sunil and the Indian National Association of the Deaf met with minister leaders in Delhi back in March to lobby against the merger of the NIHH and the ISLRTC. As Sunil explains, that particular minister was unaware that although the NIHH specializes in the needs of deaf Indians, the agency focuses on rehabilitative efforts such as speech therapy and hearing aids. As Sunil explains, the deaf community doesn't want the merger. They want autonomy.
Because social justice and empowerment minister is very unaware about reality. The rehabilitation institute it is not really helping us. He was not able to understand the...
Because the Social Justice and Empowerment Minister isn't aware of the reality, the model of the NIHH, etc., he thinks that NIHH has been doing a great job. But it's a rehabilitative institute that is not helping us. He didn't know the cultural perspective of deafness. We are demanding autonomy, not the merger. We already declared that if the government doesn't listen, if it falls on deaf ears, we will protest. All over India, deaf people will gather in Delhi. This is the ultimate.
And do the protest for the autonomy. This is ultimate.
I did contact the NIHH, the National Institute of the Hearing Handicapped, for comment, and I'm still waiting to hear back. I also spoke with Sunil's wife, Shweta Sahastrabuddhe. She explained some of her challenges in the workplace as a person who is deaf and why she is against the merger of the NIHH and the ISLRTC. Shweta grew up in a hearing family who did not learn to sign. She acquired several languages along the way, including Indian Sign Language at the age of 22. She now considers Indian Sign Language her quote-unquote mother tongue. Again, without an interpreter, Shweta was willing to use her voice on the microphone. For the purposes of this story, Shruti Deshpande provided voiceover. Shweta explains that she has to spend a lot of her energy lip-reading, requesting coworkers to look directly at her when they speak, and she still ends up getting maybe 50% access to communication.
Then job, there were many people, they are different people. I have to tell them, please be straight, give me light, different how to tell them. When some people are jealous, they didn't pay attention.
I have to tell people at work, please face me, stand in the light. But sometimes they don't pay attention. Sometimes they'll purposely talk behind my back. And there is no interpreter. I want an interpreter, but there is no interpreter. I wish they would understand my role, have empathy. Sometimes there is a communication gap, but I just have to adjust.
Shweta is not alone in her struggles in the workplace. Sunil explained a time in which a local coffee shop chain, Cafe Coffee Day, made a point to hire at least one deaf employee at every shop. While the company appeared to have good intentions, most of these employees ended up quitting because they could not communicate effectively at their jobs. Sunil explains the importance of respect for language and communication.
At least they should hire two deaf people, so that the deaf staff could communicate with each other. And there should be training for hearing staff to learn sign language or something. But Coffee Day could not understand that.
They should have hired at least two deaf people so that the staff could communicate with each other. And they should train other staff, teach them sign language. But the coffee shop didn't understand. So many deaf people were depressed, so they quit. The company thinks deaf people are not motivated, that they work for a short while and then leave the job. But deaf people wanted other deaf staff, but they never listened. I tried to counsel many companies so that they could communicate this. But nobody is listening.
They will communicate properly, but nobody is listening.
As Sunil said, nobody is listening. This is why deaf Indians feel so passionately about the ISLRTC Autonomy Now movement. While the basis of the center is to promote deaf culture, Indian Sign Language, and bilingualism in professionals who work with deaf children, the goals are much greater: to influence policy for the lives of deaf Indians. India is a multilingual country with more than 20 official languages recognized by the Indian government. This list of official languages does not include Indian Sign Language. This issue is further complicated by the fact that deaf Indians are considered people with disabilities and therefore often facing discrimination in the workplace. Additionally, the Indian law, the Persons with Disabilities PWD Act of 1995, protects the rights, participation, and equality of people with disabilities. The problem is that this law has no provision for sign language interpreters. Madan Vasishtha explains further.
Deaf people in India are a very oppressed group. For example, the NIHH is an august body of the Indian government to serve deaf people. However, it has less than 1% of deaf people working there. So they have they have low-class jobs or peons or something like that. And so almost all of the funding is spent on audiology training or speech or cochlear implants. And less 1% is on sign language. So deaf people are oppressed and they need independence from their oppressors. Unfortunately, those oppressors are not from other countries. They're right here in India. They're right in India and they're hearing people.
This oppression is felt far and wide, as is the desire for independence. Shweta and Sunil used their speech with me for this interview, but they both vehemently expressed that they prefer to communicate in their native language, Indian Sign Language. They have a lifetime of experience in lip reading across Marathi, Hindi, and English, but obviously prefer communicating in Indian Sign Language. Due to the lack of interpreter, they accommodated me for the purpose of this story. But this comfort in using speech with hearing people, this does not represent all deaf Indians. Depending on lip reading is not fair to deaf Indians, especially in group conversations where everyone interrupts each other and switches across languages. Shweta's greatest frustration is that she cannot participate effectively in these groups.
When it's a group discussion, I get lost because I don't know when they switch topics. I have to watch their lips and catch on when they switch the topic and when a new person is speaking. I have the same opinions on the same topic, but I can't express myself. I'm not stupid. I have my own opinions. I want to share too, but no one gives me a chance. We are learning their language, but nobody is learning our language.
We are learning their language, but they are not learning my language.
I strongly believe that the more I read, the better I get in a language usage. That is what we have been going.
I strongly believe that the more I read, the better I get in languages. That's why we have been good readers. But not many deaf people are like that. It's not their fault. They are not taught to use sign language from the beginning, so they lose interest in language acquisition. If they learn sign language from childhood, it would be a pleasure to learn to read and write. But that's how it is here in India, oralism, which doesn't benefit anyone.
Sunil emphasizes the importance of the ISLRTC establishment and its autonomy. The NIHH, the government agency specializing in the needs of deaf and hard of hearing Indians, operates under the medical perspective, which is to promote speech therapy and oralism. If the ISLRTC remained autonomously run by deaf Indians, who themselves promote the use of Indian Sign Language and bilingualism, they could implement better programs in deaf schools. Sunil considers an autonomously run Indian Sign Language Research and Training Center a revolution for deaf India.
Teachers have to be bilingual. Teachers have to be good at signing and teaching literacies.
Teachers have to be bilingual, good at sign language and teaching literacy. I would say that the deaf people must try to listen and speak, but that's a skill to develop. They have to grow up bilingual for success. That's why I'm here in the field to fight, to remove differences and to bring the revolution. I'm not alone. We will fight together. So ISLRTC could be a good opportunity to bring the revolution.
I have many friends joining me and we'll fight out together. So ISLRTC could be an opportunity for it to change, to bring the revolution.
Shweta reiterates her struggles in the workplace. She had been sent for a four-day training with no interpreter present. In fact, her boss was given a form to request services, but he never filled it out. The 1995 Persons with Disabilities Act did not include a provision for interpreters. Shweta's experiences echo the frustrations of many deaf Indians.
My boss sent me to training. That was a long, maybe 4 or 5 days.
My boss sent me to a 4 or 5 day training and I sat through entire lectures that I didn't understand. I didn't understand anything. We need interpreters. Maybe the ISLRTC will force the companies to get them. Maybe ISLRTC will make them understand what deaf people actually need. Then deaf people can enjoy the work environment and share their opinions. They are not dumb. They can share their opinions through sign language, but hearing people don't understand.
Shweta believes the ISLRTC could enforce policies such as interpreter services in the workplace.
Sunil believes it could work towards changing the negative perception of deaf people in India.
When we mix up with hearing people, the hearing colleagues, they look down at deaf because they think they got job because there is a reservation, but they do not have the brain.
When we mix with hearing people, they look down at deaf because they think deaf people get jobs because of reservations. They think deaf aren't smart enough because there is a communication gap. That's why we need interpreters. But who will pay? The government and private companies won't pay. Some deaf people will pay for their own interpreters and get access that way. But this should not be the case for every deaf person. So the ISLRTC could direct the government to provide interpreters so everyone can have access. We are not even able to get 5% of what is shared. It is difficult to live with the hearing world. There is too little information and thinking that hearing people look at us like we are dumb, stupid. We feel depressed. We feel like this is not the way we are. We can be different. But we need to close the communication gap. The ISLRTC will help create awareness so the lives of deaf people will get better.
We can be deaf, but we need to close the gap. RTC will create awareness so that the life of the deaf people will get better.
The desire for autonomy, this movement, the Indian Sign Language Research and Training Center, all of this is to show that deaf can. If the merger goes through, deaf people from all over India will come to the capital city of Delhi and protest. The decision will be announced on April 27th. Madan explains the community organizing efforts through technology and the historic nature of this movement.
For hearing people, it's very important because they need to understand better what is deafness, what is sign language, who's managing it. And also to understand that deaf people are capable of managing and running their own organization. In India, deaf and dumb is one word. But they need to learn that deaf people are capable and that they can do those things. This way they can see. So there we're using WhatsApp groups that are teaching each other and making some Indian Sign Language videos to disseminate, to show what this is all about. In the deaf community, there's about 10 million of them, but they're all spread out. It's hard to know who knows what, so it is a big problem. This is the first time that deaf people are coming under one flag and trying to do something big. We decided to give an ultimatum. We gave them an ultimatum to the Indian government that we cannot accept this injustice. And we will go out on the streets on April 27th, all over India, in small towns and big cities, and big groups will come to New Delhi. And our goal is to get about 10,000 deaf people out marching in the streets.
This is the new Indian independence, deaf people gaining autonomy from a long history of oppression in a hearing world. According to Madan Vasishtha, this kind of movement in India could even impact deaf communities in other South Asian nations.
A comparison with deaf people in India and in US. It's the 21st century, and in India, deaf people are still slaves. They need to have rights. They need to have access to programs, and they need to have a voice in the services that are provided to them. They should be involved. This is the UNCRPD. It clearly says that disabled people must be involved in all decision-making that affects them. And the RPWD, which is an Indian law, also supports that. So in other words, the Indian government is breaking the law, both international and Indian law by ignoring deaf people's voice? It could have a huge impact. Other countries don't have organizations managed by deaf people. And once India takes the lead in this direction, I'm sure that this will impact other countries. Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Nepal, and other countries, people are going to want the same kind of voice. And so these happenings in India will make a huge impact. In Gallaudet, the Deaf President Now movement really impacted what happened in America and in the world. And so it's as important as in 1947, freedom from the British.
Equality will bring accessibility, second, inclusive in society.
The ISLRDC will bring accessibility, inclusion, and freedom for the deaf. Deaf should not be dumb or lost. Deaf should be confident.
I know there is a famous quote. One American said this.
There is a famous quote by a deaf American, George Weddes. As long as we have deaf people on earth, we will have sight. In that context, yes, we keep signing and we pass sign language from generation to generation. But in the context of our case, we know that there are 10 million Indian sign language users. But we still feel that if we have the ISLRTC as an autonomous center, it would be perfect, solid proof of our language and culture. So I want to see it set up in 1 to 2 years. Until then, we keep fighting.
Solid proof of our existence, of our language, our culture. So I want to see the ISLRTC to be set up in 1 year or two. Until then, we'll keep fighting.
To learn more about this movement, visit ISLRTCnow.com. For KABU, I'm Sarika Mehta.
Good morning. I have breaking news concerning this segment. At 6:29 this morning, I received an email from Madan Vasish. The government formally gave the ISLRTC to the NIHH in a letter dated April 21st. There will be a protest on April 27th. You can still support this movement at ISLRTCnow.com. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. I'm Sarika Mehta. Thank you.
Good morning. It is just about 9:30. Up next on Political Perspectives on Earth Day, we'll hear an excerpt from an interview with science fiction writer and blogger Robert Marston Fanny. The interviewer is Alex Smith, host of Radio EcoShock. This is KBOO Portland. Please stay tuned.
As a science fiction author of Luthiel's Song and other works, Robert Marston Fanny has the imagination and ability to communicate well. As a former specialist on emerging threats for the prestigious military publisher Jane's Information Group, he's learned how to research and pry into things. All of that, plus a special something else that is hard to define, leads to one of the most stimulating climate change blogs on the net. It's called Robert Scribbler's Blog. Robert, welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you for having me, Alex. It's wonderful to be back and to be speaking with you again.
You know, as I read your blog every week, I think to myself, this is brilliant. Everybody needs to know about it. So we finally get to travel along some of the trails you made into science in the future. It's exciting in a frightening sort of way, isn't it, Robert?
I am quite frankly terrified, and that might be one of the reasons why I've been writing so much over the past few